Let's finally end our series on how to bless your children. It's very important, of course, before we start praying today, let me just make a few statements and watch my time so that I will not spend all the time talking. And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So this prophet will have to make sure that his spirit obeys him today. All right? What I want us to do is just take some prayer points the way we normally do here when we are praying, especially on what we have been praying about, teaching about over the last many weeks on how to bless your children. Remember, life is spiritual, all right? If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen did not come out of the things that are visible, things that are that you can see, all right? The things that are seen, all right? Now, what that means simply, let me say it again, we can't say this is enough. What that simply means is that if you see a young man, a young woman successful in life, don't assume it's because his father is rich. Don't assume it's because he has a qualification from America. You know, Pastor Courage and I were still talking yesterday night and we're analyzing it again. You have to be careful that you don't plan life so much that it's as if you think you have all the wisdom to tackle the matters of life. Like I say about education, education is good. Education is like food. Do you understand? If you don't eat, you know, you will not be able to sustain your flesh. In the same manner, education is for your intellect. It is not a guarantee of wealth. Please get that point. It is not a guarantee of anything. It's given to open your mind. It's given to develop you. And that's why I say to young people, students, all right, when you go to university, make sure university actually goes through you. Do you understand? Don't just leave that place and you have a qualification. You must have a worldview. You must be enlightened. You must know things. You know, don't just read. They tell you, okay, you are going to take 8 courses this semester, 2 credits here, 3 credits here, 5 credits here. At the end of the day, once you get your minimum credit, you are happy. After that, the only thing you know in life is Manchester United and Chelsea. You are not educated, all right? You are not educated. You are still close to a barbarian. Do you understand my point? You should know things more than that. I was telling my students today, I was giving a lecture in the university earlier on today, and I explained to them that sometimes you hear a public lecture. I said, go for the public lecture, even though it's not, nobody's going to examine you on it. You know, listen to lectures. You know, what those lectures do for you is that they open your mind. They help you to know life, all right? You shouldn't go through life half blind. Do you understand? You can't understand why things are happening. You know, they say when things happen in the world, there are 3 groups of people. There are those who observe what's happening, and there are those, there are those who make things happen, there are those that watch things happen, and there are those who wonder what happened. All right? You know, for you to be amongst those that make things happen, you must, you know, have an open mind. All right? You must have, when I say open mind, I don't mean mind open that anything can be tossed inside. I mean a broad mind. That's what I mean. A mind that has seen things, you know? And that's what education does for you. That's the primary thing. People say university graduates don't have jobs. Who said they should have jobs? I don't know whether you get my point. Who is going to give them the job? Did their father create one job waiting for them outside there? You know, universities, the higher institutions were created, all right, so that you can go out and create jobs, not to go and queue and say, okay, where are the jobs people created? Like somebody said, life doesn't owe you anything. It got here first. You came after. Do you understand my point? Yes, you know, you must bear that in mind. So that's what it is. Education is very good. I'm going to emphasize that again. It's very good, all right? It doesn't guarantee. That's what we are going to. It does not guarantee anything. You can't say, now I must be rich in life because I've eaten plenty. Have you ever heard that before? You say, this life, I must be rich. Why? Ah, you don't see my pounded yam. When I eat, the building, they shake. Does that make me rich? In the same manner, because you are educated, it does not make you rich. It's so important to understand this. Now, what makes somebody rich in life, let's just get that clear, is the blessing of God. What did I say? The blessing of God. The Bible makes it clear, it makes rich. It makes rich. And that's what we Christians need to understand. That by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the blessing of God and not by education, the degree that we got. It was not, the wealth is not framed by which country I was born in. Like I've been trying to explain all this while. That people spend money, they want to go and have their children in America. They want to go and have their children in, these are the 2 countries we run to now. You know, they pass America and UK. Those are the 2. Very soon, people will add South Africa. I didn't say that one yet. Some people are really trying. Anyway, those are the two we rush to. Now, like I say all the time, you can have your children anywhere. The advantage your child has for being born in UK or in America is the same advantage as being born on Mount Kilimanjaro. There is no... No, what I've said is not a joke. You may as well go and give birth to your child on Mount Kilimanjaro. It is the same thing. At the end of the day, what's going to put substance in the life of your child is not where he was born. Because there are those who were born and bred in America, they are poor today. Yeah. All you need to do, go to this America if you want to die to go there. You will see queues of people begging for food. You see this junction here, you see as young boys come there to come and beg. This washing of glass did not start in Nigeria to collect money. They are the ones that invented it. No, just get to an American junction as you park also. As people come to your window, tap. In fact, they don't speak. They normally carry placards. You see all kinds of things. I've seen things like this. Somebody say, already have a burger, just need milk. Yeah, that's how they beg. What the man is saying is, truly, somebody before you give me a burger. So do you have any milk? And when he says milk, he didn't say buy me milk. The one you drank and you did not finish, don't throw out of the window, give it to me. It's all over the world. It's all over the world. So don't use your money to say, I want to give my child the future. We've established that. No, it is children that are born in Zion that are safe. It is children that are born in Zion. Those are the ones that God puts a mark beside them. Say, this one was born in Zion. Don't say, let me lay up money for them. Only a foolish person does that. The Bible says, Jesus said it clearly, do not lay up treasure on the earth. Two things happen to treasure on the earth. One, moth destroy. What is moth when it comes to cash? It is inflation. It is bank collapse. It is collapse of the stock market. That will happen. Nobody can pray that one away. And two, thieves do break in and steal. And that one is clear. Somebody will steal the money one day. If you store it there long enough, it's going to lose value. Somebody is going to take it away from you. Sometimes not thieves are breaking and steal. Government breaks in and steal. In some countries, just levy tax, boom, that's it. Your money is gone. So all these physical things don't guarantee a destiny. We've been talking about that. What guarantees a destiny is spiritual. Are you getting my point? And that's why we have to pray for our children. We have to bless them. Isaac said concerning what he prayed, what he told Jacob, he was speaking to Esau, I have sustained him with grain and with new wine by the power of the words. By the power of the words. We have already established also that God blesses children because of their parents. How you live your life today is going to affect your children. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. God will say, look, this boy, I will have destroyed you. But were he not, you know, your father, he served me with his whole heart. And he said a prayer for you. For his sake, let me forgive you. I said parents are what? Doorkeepers. You decide the kind of spirit that enters into your home. By the kind of place you go to, the kind of interactions you have in spiritual things in life, you determine the kind of spirits that enter into your house. Let's never forget it. Now, of course, this is our school of prayer, and that's why I want to end it with praying about all of these things. Very importantly, pray for your children. You say, I don't have children yet. Pray for them anyway. The prayer will be stored up. Prayer has value. It's a spiritual substance. It can be kept. How do I know? Go and check the Bible. It's like, you know, like you have this the sensor into which you've been poured the prayers of the saints. Prayer can be stored. There are things that Jesus prayed about then that still affecting you till today. How do I know? He said simply to the when he was praying in that book of John around chapter 17. He said, I'm praying not just for them, but for those who will believe through the words that they will preach. Do you understand that? So the prayer that Jesus prayed is affecting you till now. The prayer he prayed thousands of years ago while he was walking on this earth is affecting you till today. So store up prayers for your children. They may be 1, 2, 3 years old now, or they are not even born yet. Drop a prayer when you remember it concerning their education in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time. You make them smart by offering prayers and by prophesying. You make them rich by offering prayers and by prophesying. It is not, look, you cannot, I don't need to say it again. You can't guarantee that many rich people of just a few years ago, as of today, when you see their children, you can't believe the father was ever rich. Many parents have lavished and spent money on children that are not interested in reading. You can have money to spend on education, and the person you want to spend it on does not want to read. So you find there are times that somebody has money to spend on education, and the person you are trying to spend it on doesn't want to read. Many men have used money to send their children to trouble. I remember the story of Pastor Paul Adeolu Adefarasin. He will tell the story, so I'm not gossiping behind him. I heard it when he was preaching on the pulpit. And his brother, I heard his brother's testimony by himself. This was on 700 Club, or either was 700 Club, or what is the other one? Turning Point, one of the two of them, yes. And he described how, as a young boy, his allowance those days was $50,000 a year, thereabout. Either dollars or pounds, something like that. And as a young boy, he had two cars, had a nice, decent flat or house he was staying in. And that was the ruin of his life. Father was sending him money. What was he doing with the money? He was buying cocaine to have parties during the weekends. He left UK, went to US. He continued at the worst speed. His brother, the same thing. The first one I talked about is Pastor Paul's brother. This other one, Pastor Paul himself, said those days all he was living for was crack. Get him highly purified cocaine. Why? His father had money to send him to school. Why was this? His father had the money. So listen, money doesn't guarantee you anything. You have to be very, very foolish to still be hoping in money. Both of them, their heads corrected back in Nigeria, not in America. When God wanted to restore them, they had to come home. And it was prayers that restored them. What does that tell you? Those prayers could have ensured they didn't go that way. I like the way, what's the name of that your friend that used to preach on TV? That tall man. Miss that mess. Miss the mess. Oh, what is his name? Anyway, forgotten his name now. Anyway, the man preached a message. He said, he called it, "You Can Miss That Mess." So my wife used to call the man Miss the Mess. What the man was saying is that you don't have to enter into trouble and then get deliverance. It is possible to live your life in such a manner that don't even enter it at all. And I'm saying this, those people that have to be delivered with prayer, locally, not internationally, those prayers could have prevented them, offered appropriately, and the right actions taken could have prevented them from entering into those messes that were. Is it like messes? Anyway, the mess that each person entered into. And that's what we are saying. Pray for your children. That's what we are saying. That is what they need. Just two things. Your prayers, and then your own life style of righteousness. Your prayers include petitions to God, and two, direct prophesying over their head. Make it a habit. That's what I wanted to just summarize today, all right? I'm happy I was able to control that spirit, so we're not talking for too long. I want to just summarize everything today, and the way we normally do, I just lead the prayer. Like, as this is a school of prayer. This is not a prayer meeting primarily. What is it? A school. So we come to create habits based on understanding, not just habits based on routine, but based on understanding. So when you want to do things, you know why you are doing what you are doing. It's not just, I've offered my prayers. No. Like, have you said your prayers today? No. You know that when you are saying these things, you are talking to a child who's 1, 2, 3, and you are already saying things that will be effective only when this fellow is 20. And you know it. You know, as if you pray today, say, I never see effect tomorrow. No. You know, this one I'm saying to you now, I don't expect to see the effect in 20 years. And some of them, I will never physically see it. Some of them will be manifested after I will have left this earth. Do you understand? If I tell you, for example, that maybe I'm talking to the child, and I prophesy about it, you will see your children's children and their own children. That one, I don't know how long I'm going to live to see the last one being prophesied. Do you understand my point? Being fulfilled. So some of those things, I know they will be fulfilled long after. But as I'm uttering those words, I know that they are working. They are working. They are being stored up. And they can't be wasted. They are the words of God. You know, when I uttered them, I said that the blessing of God is not just a blessing from God. Right? It's a spiritual substance in the mouth of covenant parents. So I know once, as a covenant child of God, I'm uttering words into the lives of my children, those words will not fall to the ground. They must come to pass. There are things that God will have to suspend so that the word may be fulfilled in the lives of my children. And that's something we must do as habits, all of us. And we are here not just to learn, not just to pray, but to learn. All right? So what we're going to do today, all right, is just take some words of both of them, both supplication and prophetic words. Both of them, that's what we're going to do. We're going to utter thanksgiving. We're going to offer up thanksgiving. We're going to offer supplications, all right? And then we're going to prophesy. And our prayers specifically are concerning our offspring. We are praying for our children. This is the substance that they need. Your son will see India hemp. They will see him around. There are boys that when they want to join cults, even if they come to the cult, say, I want to join, the cult will refuse to join them. You understand my point? Why? Because they know that his presence, you know, angels are real. They are real. They will walk around with the boys. Anywhere they go, they will scatter things. The boy says, okay, tomorrow I'm going to smoke this in their hand. When he gets there, two angels will be smoking ahead of him, you know. They are waiting. Once they enter, they will slap. Say, please, this is where they are selling their hand. He said, yes. You want to smoke? Bam! What can I do you now? What does it matter? In his mind, your father has prayed that you will never smoke. They will beat. The boy will link smoking with beating. He will never smoke in his life. Why? Because you prayed. The day he gets to the joint, they will so beat him, he won't come back. So one day when you see your son with swollen cheek, don't ask him what happened. Don't worry. It's some angel. And those people are not people. They are angels. So please, I've told you, don't have the impression that all the people in heaven, they are nice. Some angels there are not nice people. Michael is not a nice person. The angels that move with Michael, they are not nice people. If you not be careful, the way we say it, if you not be careful yourself near them, they will even kill you before they realize you're a child of God. He said, what do I mean? Go and ask Balaam. Go and ask Balaam. He was saying, prophet of God. One angel was going to kill him. It was a donkey possessed by another spirit that saved his life. Don't have the impression that every angel in heaven is a nice guy. Some of them, they don't smile. They are not angry with you. They are not happy with you. They are just there. You want to prove that from scriptures again? Go and check. Ask when they got to Jericho. Our brother's name?
Joshua
was moving around. He saw one angel. He didn't know it was an angel. He said, on whose side are you? The guy said, I'm not on your side. I'm not against you. This is Israel you're talking about. God was leading them. They asked, on whose side are you? I'm not on anybody's side. Anybody vex me, they will understand. So if you don't want me to be against you, obey God. That's what the angel was saying. What am I trying to say? When your sons, your daughters want to misbehave, God will release some of the apprentice of Michael. Why did I say apprentice? Those ones, they don't kill people, they just beat people. The boy will get to where they were smoking in their hemp. He wants to buy because his friends have been pushing you to, you must smoke. Two angels will go there, beat your son, no? They will beat him so well. They won't injure him. They know how to beat so that you won't be injured. They are well trained. That boy will never smoke again. Why? Because the father prayed that he will not smoke. Your son wants to go to a party. Your daughter wants to go to a party that God didn't send her. Don't worry, at the door, somebody will rough all the makeup. That is, they go tear your cloth. You go run, go house. Why? It's an angel of God that disguised to tell you, oh girl, you don't belong here. Your father said to us that you must never be found in such places. So our job is to ensure that you can't disobey that word. Do you understand my point? That's what it means to lead in the path of righteousness by force. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because somebody who had charge over that individual prayed. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Listen, Jesus said concerning Peter, he said, Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. He has petitioned. He said, but I have prayed for you. I'm going to do a series later on how to silence the demands of Satan. Satan makes demands. He contended for the body of Moses. He went to God and demanded to deal with Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, all of them. And Jesus got wind of it and prayed for Peter that his faith may not fail and that when he has been converted, he will be able to strengthen the other people. That was an answer to the demand of Satan. What I'm saying, you also will pray for your children so that no matter what Satan wants to do to them, your prayers will stand against the demand of the enemy. That's what we are talking about. Our life is spiritual. You get my point? That's why I said, let me make this statement again and we'll start talking. The poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. Don't ever forget that. The poor and the rich, they have what? One thing in common. Proverbs says that God is the maker of them all. But this is the application of it. There is nothing the rich man can give his child that the poor man can't if he understands spiritual things. The rich man will say, okay, here is $50,000. Go to a good school. The poor man will say, kneel down here. What I need is 50 minutes. The other man has $50,000. Good. I need 50 minutes. Kneel down here. I will make you a university professor. I don't have the money. I don't have the connection. But I have the words. And I understand that these words are more powerful than $50,000. So kneel down here. And the poor man faces that boy and begins to say to him, you will be a leader amongst men. You will be smart. All kinds of degrees will be given to you. Men will fall over themselves to do you favor. Doors will open in the name of Jesus. You will go into research. You will discover things that men did not know. In 15 minutes, he has made that guy the head of the man that the father had paid $50,000 for. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. They have access to all divine resources. That's what he was saying. Sometimes money is a disadvantage. Too much of it, you don't think anymore. You say money answereth all things. We sometimes use it and not realize that some statements of fact are just statements of fact. It doesn't mean you should follow them like that. Everything that goes up must come down. That is true. It doesn't mean now you want something to come down and now be throwing everything up. No, you've learnt it. Money can solve a lot of problems. That is a matter of fact. But it doesn't mean you should throw money at everything. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. Divine resources are available for any one of them that will stretch forth his hands or her hands to grab hold of them. You'll grab hold of those resources, use them concerning your children, and their lives will never be average. Let's rise to our feet. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. First of all, let's just start by giving God thanks. Always important. Let's just thank God. Just begin to give him thanks there. I want you to declare thanksgiving to the Lord. Say it loud. Lord, I thank you because of your word. I thank you because the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. Thank him for it. That the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. Therefore, thank him because everything that you need, you have. Thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you because I do not have any lack. It doesn't matter whether I'm poor or I am rich. The important thing is that you are my maker. Say, Lord, I thank you that you are my maker. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have your resources. I thank you because I have everything that I need. I wanted to declare it to God. Say, Lord, I thank you. But even though I may not have plenty of money, yet it is well with my children. So it's irrelevant. Even if I have plenty of money, I remove my eyes from the things that I have. I declare that it's well with my children. Remember, whether you have them now or currently, it doesn't matter. Pray for them now. These prayers, remember, it's going to be stored up. It will work for them at the appropriate time. Thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you for understanding. That I understand purpose. Say, Lord, I understand purpose. What do you mean by purpose? I recognize that I am not, those children are not mine. They are yours, sent into my home for training. Say, Lord, I accept the responsibility in the name of Jesus. He said, I have chosen Abraham so that he may command his children and his household after him in the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. Say, Lord, I accept that responsibility. And I dedicate myself again. I will train my children in the way of the Lord so that they may do righteousness and justice. Declare to God, say, Lord, I thank you for understanding. I thank you because I'm a covenant child of yours. Therefore, the power of the blessing is in my mouth. You can use the very words that I'm using. You can use your own words. You can pray in the spirit. You can pray in other tongues. You can do any one. But just make sure that you are communicating these things spiritually. Say to the Lord, say, Lord, I thank you because I am a covenant child of yours. Therefore, the power of the blessing is in my mouth. Isaac was able to bless Jacob because he was a son of Abraham. In the same manner, spiritually speaking, by faith, we are children of Abraham. Therefore, declare, Lord, I am a child of Abraham. I am a child of Abraham by faith. I'm a covenant child of yours. Therefore, the spiritual blessing is in my mouth. And I can declare this blessing upon my household. And I can declare this blessing upon my children. First scripture I want to read as we are praying this prayer today is from the book of Isaiah chapter 8. Let me quickly just open that. If you have your Bibles handy, you can open it. Otherwise, don't worry yourself. I will read it out loud. From the book of Isaiah chapter 8. I like one thing he said in verse 18. He said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. Let's read together. Verse 18. It says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. We'll begin to declare now these words. Just say it loud. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am for signs.
And
I am for wonders.
My children are for signs.
And my children are for wonders. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me say something to you. When we say signs and wonders, what it means is that God will do something unique in their lives that people will be able to talk about. Are you getting my point? It's very important. You have to learn to expect great things. You must learn to expect great things. Don't let the world define things for you. Even if you have a child and say the child is sick, don't worry about it. Don't say, God, why did you give me this child? Remember the scripture. It says what? Your child is for what? For signs and wonders. That these people will look and say, you mean this happened in the life of this child? He said, then I know your God indeed is alive. Are you getting my point? That's what he's talking about. So declare it. You can say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every one of my children.
Every one of my children.
They are for signs.
They are for signs.
And they are for wonders.
And
they will affect their generation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I declare that none will be average.
None will be average.
But all of them will be signs.
And they will be wonders.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, they will do the will of God for their lives. They will walk in the path of righteousness.
They will do righteousness.
And they will do justice.
They will do righteousness.
And they will do justice
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, I pronounce the word of God over them.
Hear me, my children.
You are for signs.
Every bit of your life
will demonstrate the glory of God.
You are for wonders.
You will manifest the power of God
in this life
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Listen, in case any parents, either you are here or you're not here, all right, and you are listening to this, I want to do something. We can't do that now, all right? But take time out and take your children one by one. If they are present, put them there and face them and declare these words upon them one by one. If the fellow is not around, put his photograph. Don't worry about it. If you don't have picture, just lie down, close your eyes. Picture him, picture her in front of your eyes and begin to talk. This is not prayer now. You are telling him. You are telling her. Say, listen to me. You are for signs and for wonders. That is, your birth is a sign. Your life is a wonder. And that is how you will live. And you are telling them. Nobody say, please, it will have been nice for you to be a sign. Don't ever forget it. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. What are we talking about? That, listen, this is one thing that nobody charges money for. You don't need to have money to use these resources. What you need to have is discipline. What you need to have is faith. What you need to, look, don't let people distract you. Don't let people put you under tension. Hey, madam, how's your child? Oh, you have gone to, you now mention the name of one child spoiling school for you. You know what they call child spoiling school? Schools that children go to, they don't make their bed, they don't wash their clothes, they don't do anything. They want to help you spoil your child for that. They are not scolded, they are not flogged, everything is, don't worry. Child just wake up in the morning, bring out the nails, they clean it for him. Why? Because the father is paying 1 million naira a term. At the end of the day, they will help you spoil your child for that. You can go to any school you like, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, don't let anybody now put you under tension. You are afraid to tell people the name of the school that your child is going. Why? Because all of them are sending their children to schools where they pay, you know, 1 million naira a term. Like when I'm teaching my students, I talk about what I call, you know, there's a part of the subjects I teach heart failure. So I say, when I want to illustrate what we call high output heart failure, I tell them about high output husband failure. That there are some husbands that are in trouble. Not because they are not working hard, not because God is not blessing them, because their wives have decided that, look, oh, my daughter too must go to, let me not mention any school now so that somebody won't be on edge. Mention one school. Why? Because he went to work and all the friends, they send their children to school. To express that you're not at peace anymore. Christmas has come now, some women are not happy. Why? They say Christmas, long vacation. Because their friends' children have gone to America, they've gone to Europe for holiday, and they can't afford it. You know, one of the things I like about my life, I will tell you ahead of time. So, Pastor Banky, why are your children? They are not horror in Benin. Where are they? Are they for a career? Why did they not go to the U.S.? I don't have the money. When I tell you once like that, I don't have to worry about it again. Once I've told you once, I don't have to worry about it again. I said, my children just came from Switzerland. They just came. I said, oh, they went to Switzerland? Now, wow. Me, I can't afford it. What are they doing? They are skiing. Don't worry. These ones have gone to swim in the river. The poor and the rich have one thing in common. You see, I wish people would understand it. Many of the things that you're envying rich people for, you understand? You have things that are better than that. No, human beings are never satisfied. Nigerians will go to America. Americans will go to Europe. Europeans will go to America. Everybody must go somewhere. Some will now come to Africa to come and see, you know. They want to see lizards and see, they want to, goats. Some people have never seen goats. And when you give them bush meat, they think it's a delicacy. Bush meat. I killed bush meat myself as a child. You never did? Rat. It doesn't have to be inside the bush. Just the one. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I'm going to emphasize something. Listen, there's nothing. Look, you're talking about the destiny of your children. You are not at a disadvantage at all. Declare the case. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have all the resources that I need.
To give my children a brilliant destiny.
Say it, I am a covenant child of God.
I am for signs.
And I am for wonders.
And I declare
that every one of my children, they are for signs.
And they are for wonders.
Please let me give you 30 seconds. Some of you know the names of your children already. Quickly begin to declare it one by one. Those of you who don't know, just be declaring my children. Some people, look, I named my children before I had them. Some people will be praying for days after their child has been born. I don't know. Me, as my wife is delivering, is it a boy or a girl? If it is a boy, the name is waiting. I knew if I had a son first, his name will be Akinolu, and his name will be David. Anyone after that, I knew his name would be Olubenga, and his name would be Daniel. I was naming those children before they were conceived. Call those children by name and declare to him, declare to her. And let the child know when they come to your home, they are not missing anything. Don't be intimidated by people's material resources. Don't be. Don't be intimidated by anybody's material resources. The poor and the rich, they have this thing in common. These resources are spiritual and they all have access to it.
You will destroy the works of the enemy and establish men in righteousness by the preaching of truth. In the name of Jesus Christ.